Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin in prayer. Almighty God, you have a Father's heart for us in all things, desiring the best for us. Open our hearts to you, so we know what to let go of in this life, to be prepared to be with you in the next life. Help us understand that nothing in this life is more important than our relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, along with the Holy Spirit, one God, worthy of all our praise and prayer. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A legacy of a surrendered life. What does it look like? And why would you want one for your own life? Those are two good questions. First, it is living the Christian life in such a visible fashion others will follow in your footsteps. Second, the blessings you will encounter are beyond measure. Beginning with eternal life, enjoying the great banquet with the Son of God in heaven. But before entering your inheritance in heaven, the Father has much to place in your life and your heart that will only happen in and to a surrendered life. A life that in all ways acknowledges God is God. And his ways are the best. We live life in much like a contest of wills. Your will, the Father's will. Will you do the will of the Father, or will you do the will of your own self? You can learn from Jesus. At the most excruciating time, just before him, Jesus praying in the garden for the cup to be taken away. He has seen crucifixion. He knows what is coming for him. Praying deeply and full of anguish, such that blood is mingled with his sweat, Jesus still prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." That extraordinary moment is to be for us, happening in our lives, in an every moment type of thing. Father, your will be done in my life. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, that is what you are to grow into more and more each day. The ability to say and live from the heart, Father, your will be done. Look to Abraham. God comes to him and says, leave your home, leave your land, leave your father, and go to the land I will show you. That is found in Genesis 12. And that great promise of the Lord making Abram, later named Abraham, into a great nation. Now, could you imagine picking up and moving everything and go to a place you don't know where, you're just going to be shown when you get there, and you're 75 years old? And the kicker is, you just don't know where you're going. God said, I will show you. You have a promise from the Lord. That's all you have is that promise. Would you go? Abram did. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and their entourage, and they went. And they went on a promise from God. Abram could not stay in Terah with his father and also go to the promised land. It's one or the other. Abram trusted the word of the Lord and left Terah. Now, not in an always perfect way and in perfect trust of the Lord. Remember in Egypt, Abram lied about his wife Sarai, saying, she's my sister. He didn't trust the Lord his God would give him a son through his wife Sarai in his old age, so Abram had a son with Sarai's servant Hagar. Ishmael was born. Ishmael is not the promised child. The promise was to Abram and Sarai. After an encounter with the Lord changed their names to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, just as the Lord promised. Isaac was born, the promised child. The Lord did for Sarah as he promised. This was 25 years after leaving Terah and his father. God's timing is good timing. Wait patiently, trusting the Lord. Sometime later, we really don't know how much later, the Lord comes to Abraham, and as it's recorded in Genesis 22, God said, take your son, the only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Take your son, whom you love. Isaac was Abraham's pride and joy, the one whom he loved. By any chance, was Abraham's relationship with Isaac starting to interfere with Abraham's relationship with the Lord God? Or was Isaac in need of an example of faith from his father Abraham? Now, we often picture Isaac as a young boy, but he could have been a young man. The scripture says some time later. We don't know the years. Young boy, young man. The thing is, Abraham was asked to take Isaac. The Bible is not clear about Isaac's age. Only that Isaac asked. The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Has the promised gift in Abraham's life became more important than the one who promised and gave the gift? Abraham, love your son. That is good. Even more, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Not even Isaac, the promised child, is to come between Abraham and the Lord God. In your life, are there things that come between you and your Father in heaven, the Lord God Almighty? Are there things that are more important and higher priority in your life than time with the body of Christ, the church, to gather in worship, break bread, and pray together? Is your life surrendered to the Lord God? The Bible says that the Lord tested Abraham to go on a hard journey to the region of Moriah, and at the same time to have those thoughts about Isaac. And as they were walking, was it a time to share the faith? And as they're walking, Abraham looks to his son and recounts his journey with the Lord. Isaac, we're on this journey for the Lord God told me to do this. Just as the Lord God told me to leave Terah, my home, all those years ago, to leave everything I knew and follow the Lord God to a place the Lord God would show me. On and on, Abraham and Isaac talked over those 3 days that they left the servants behind, and Isaac was carrying the wood, and Abraham was carrying the fire and the knife. as the altar is built. Then Isaac is bound, and an arm is raised. Surrender. What comes to your mind when you hear the word surrender? Is it defeat? Is it the worst possible outcome in your life, having to surrender? Conquered, defeated, humiliated, worthless. Is that what comes to your mind when you hear that word surrender? Jesus tells a parable about a banquet. To understand the parable, we need to take a look at where Jesus was when he was telling the parable and what day of the week it was when he was telling this parable. It is the Sabbath. And Jesus is eating in the house of a prominent Pharisee. In front of Jesus is a man suffering from dropsy. All eyes are on Jesus to see what he will do. Jesus asks, "Is it right to heal on the Sabbath?" The experts and the Pharisees that are watching Jesus and watching that suffering man, they say nothing. They remain silent. Jesus holds the man and heals him. Jesus then watches how the people pick their seats, seeking the most prominent seat they could get. Status, power, position. Jesus sees them and he responds by saying, "To take a lower seat, lest someone more important comes after you and you have to give up your seat." And then Jesus goes on and speaks to the host and says, "Do not invite people to this banquet that can invite you in return. Invite people who cannot do the same in return. Show compassion and kindness to others. Not this continued one-upmanship game you have going with your peers. Have genuine compassion on the broken, the hungry, the hurting and lost." That's the setting. And then Jesus tells the parable of the great banquet. The great banquet is ready. Come, come now. Everything is ready. The ones invited, one after another, start to make excuses. Other things are more important than your great banquet. Please excuse me. Remember that setting. Jesus is at a banquet in a prominent Pharisee's home. Jesus was watching them, seeing their hearts, and the parable is told that contains a warning. This parable has a warning in it. Not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Those are strong words of warning. The great banquet in the parable is the joyous banquet in heaven. More specifically, it is the wedding banquet of the Son of God and his bride, the church. Those invited who had made excuses will never taste heaven. That is a tremendous and terrifying warning given to the Pharisees and his guests. The Pharisees and all the guests could not even feel compassion for the man Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Their thoughts of position, prestige, and power were more important. As a result, Jesus is warning them that unless they change, their hearts change, they will not taste the banquet of heaven. That warning is for you too. Are the things and stuff in your life more important to you than the things of the kingdom of God? really wrestle with that. Is the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, eternal life, of more importance to you than stuff or power or prestige or position or PlayStation or any other things you can put in there? 1966, the Medical Mission Sisters released an album, and its title was Joy is Like the Rain. My parents had that album, and I actually had the sheet music of the songs from that album. And one of the songs on that album was Wedding Banquet, which is this parable. I see some heads nodding. The Wedding Banquet, the common name for that song is I Cannot Come. And perhaps you've heard the chorus, and if you have, I invite you to join with me. I cannot come. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have married a wife. I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused. I cannot come. The first verse is, a certain man held a feast on his fine estate in town. He laid a festive table and wore a wedding gown. He sent invitations to his neighbors far and wide. But when the meal was ready, each of them replied, together now, I cannot come. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have married a wife. I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused. I cannot come. Now, the final verse has a warning. And this is how the Medical Mission Sisters put the warning. Now, God has written a lesson for the rest of mankind. If we're slow in responding, he may leave us behind. He's preparing a banquet for that great and glorious day when the Lord and Master calls us, be certain not to say. And then they go back into the chorus. In the parable, land, oxen, and a new marriage were the excuses. Did you notice the excuses encompass the things of life? Very easy to say that those are good excuses. Even great excuses. I just bought land. I just bought oxen. And the best excuse is, I just got married. My wife won't let me go. Or, I just got married. My husband won't let me go. They seem to be great excuses. But according to Jesus, those excuses will keep you from heaven. What is being taught is that nothing is more important than the things of God. Nothing is more important than the things of God. It means your relationship to the Lord your God is to be the most important before all things. And the way it looks like in ordinary daily life is your relationship to the body of Christ, the church, is where you live out this most important relationship to the Lord your God. Do you see that? Your relationship to the Lord your God is the most important in your life, becomes before all things. And the way you live out that relationship is in the body of Christ, which is the church. So we come back to surrendering all things that have become more important than your relationship to the Lord your God. We come back to surrendering all things that become more important than gathering in the body of Christ, the church, meaning Sunday worship, Sunday school, and any other times the church gets together to worship, pray, break bread. Nothing should interfere with your relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And nothing is to be more important also than your relationship with us, the body of Christ, the church. You may be afraid to let go, afraid that you will somehow lose, you'll miss something. Unless you let go and surrender, you will miss out on a relationship with the Lord. You are not surrendering to an enemy. You are not being conquered by someone who seeks to destroy you or give ill things to you or has malevolence towards you. You are surrendering to the one who made you, the one who loves you with perfect love. You will experience a deeper, more profound faith walk with Jesus Christ. Others will see that God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are first in your life. The body of Christ, the church, will become exceedingly important to you, gathering with the brothers and sisters in Christ in worship, in prayer, and breaking of bread. They all are top priority, first on your daily planner. And then right next to that is sharing the compassion of Jesus Christ and his redeeming grace with the lost, broken, and sinful. Your heart will be burdened for them to know Christ's redeeming grace. The Lord provided the substitution for Isaac. The Lord provided the sacrifice. And that only gave us an understanding that the Lord was going to provide the perfect sacrifice. And God Almighty provided the Son, Jesus, to be that perfect sacrifice. So again, we turn our eyes to Jesus. Jesus there asked for the cup to be taken away, praying in agony, such that blood and sweat were mingled. Jesus prayed, "If possible, take this cup away from me." Then Jesus continued as he walked all of his life in perfect surrender to the Father. "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus' surrendered life brought about redemption through his precious blood and brought about the gift of grace unto eternal life. Your surrendered life to the Lord will bring the reality of redemption in Jesus Christ into your life. Your legacy of a surrendered life will cause others to seek Christ and by God's grace turn to Christ and be redeemed by Christ and join the body of Christ, which is the church. And then together, as the church, as the bride of Christ, together, we will be at that great feast, the wedding banquet in heaven that is to come. Do you see that? Do you see that wedding banquet that is to come? As the bride of Christ, the church, which means you. You will be in heaven with the Father forever, And it's through a surrendered life to experience the fullness of redeeming grace. Just as Christ said, "Not my will, your will be done." Brothers and sisters, as disciples of Christ, it's the same for you and for me. The Father's will. Live a surrendered life, and you will experience grace upon grace, compassion and mercy that you've never known before. And you will have your heart and your mind and your eyes set on that banquet feast to come. And at the same time, you will have your hand extended out saying to the lost, the broken, the sinners, "Come with me." As Christ redeemed me, Christ will redeem you. Come with me to the banquet feast. For it must be full. Amen and amen.